And welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another edition of Health Talks with Dr. Trin. The one show, the only show showing you the future of technology today and how to get healthier using technology. Can that really be done, Dr. Trin? Can technology make you healthier? It makes me crazier. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, I love technology, except I'm a little older than these kids here. Yeah. When it comes to technology. So we leave it to the younger generation to develop all these technology, Paul, so that when you go to the grocery store, it'll tell you what to buy. Oh. I think that's what they're developing.
All right, look at it. Well, let's give some background before we bring him in. Dr. Trin, and as if he doesn't have enough on his plate, he is a researcher for Alzheimer's. He is a full-time physician in some emergency rooms around town here. He is also runs his own medical missionary thing, tongue out, and flies around the world to help people. I don't know if you're going back to Haiti, given what's happened there, but you've been to Haiti, you've been to Vietnam. And he's got all these other things he does. I could rattle off 100 other things on his plate here. And he decided to be a mentor to the Wayfinders program right here in the building, UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center, this spectacular space they built to bring technology from campus and see if they can turn it into some sort of real company. And they brought in mentors like Dr. Trin to work. Talk about why do you do that and how does that work and what do you do? Talk about the program first and then we'll talk because you got some students with you today here.
Yes, yes. And I have some awesome students. Caitlin and Bing are with me. I totally believe in mentorship programs because I was a mentee at one point.
I was going to ask. Okay, right.
I was a mentee at one point and I remember way back at like high school, right? Even before UCI, I was a student at Santa Ana Valley High. And academically, Santa Ana Valley High, I don't know. I think there
it's
was
just okay. Yeah, right.
700 of us freshmen that entered Valley High and about 300 seniors graduated.
Wow, that's not good.
And so they had this program back then that was trying to help with those numbers, right? Those graduation numbers and things of that sort. And what they did was they tried to identify students who were minorities or disadvantaged in some way. And so I actually signed up. And this is a program that matches mentors with mentees. And I signed up. I remember I was like 16 years old and I'm like, you know, this is interesting. I would love to have a mentor. And so I was matched up with a mentor. This is a program that was out of Santa Ana College, I believe. And that mentor was actually a physician.
Oh, now had you thought of medicine before or was this just happenstance that they put you with?
The only thing that was on my mind back then was video games.
And maybe girls, a couple of girls.
Yeah, more video games.
And so, more video games than girls. Yeah,
and even during college, it was just video games on my mind. Now, I'm an anteater as well, UCI undergrad. And so, yeah, and so I... So my mentor, Dr. Rex Ayling was his name. We met quarterly, you know, every few months, we had a meal together. And I just looked up to him. I learned a lot and he taught me a lot and he took me along to his meetings and with all the big people. And I was like, wow. And then I decided to volunteer in the field of healthcare. And so I think my career today has been influenced a lot because of the mentors that have kind of led the way.
It sounds like it made a major impact in your life here. Well, let's bring in the people that you're mentoring. So it's giving back. They brought you into this Wayfinders program. And if I understand, they can correct me if I'm wrong, but they bring people, students or faculty are eligible to join this program. If you're accepted, and I don't know how they accept people into this, but if you do, you get what, 6 months, I think, of a space and mentorship and guidance and whatever, and access to money. There's downstairs, there's all these people, VCs and stuff, scrambling all over these projects, trying to see, maybe even the university, they have an investment fund. So let's bring in your guests. We have Bing and Caitlin. Let's start with Caitlin, ladies first. How did you get accepted into the Wayfinders program? Then we'll talk about what it is that you do, but let's just talk about the process of getting in.
Yeah, thanks so much, Paul. So we were able to be matched with Dr. Trin throughout that whole process. And in the beginning, what it was is you have to have a startup and there has to be a certain amount of traction, not too much. We're very, very early stage. in our development stage, and it's all mission driven. So we submit our application, we have an interview with the director and the CEO of the funding, and they ask us, well, okay, what is your impact model? What can you generate? What is your vision? And we tell them, and if our mission and vision align with theirs, and if we can genuinely make a big impact on society, then they help us out and we're matched with mentors like Dr. Trin.
Now, I just got to take some of this apart before we bring your partner and get back into this. You say this so confidently, so casually. Dr. Trin, did you have an impact statement at that age? Did you even know what an impact statement was? What is an impact statement? I didn't have an impact statement. I'm not sure I got one now, but I, you know, how I'm going to change the world. But back when I was in college, I was just into, we didn't have video games. It was just probably beer and women and music or whatever. I mean, I didn't have a deep formulation of how I was going to change the world. How did you come up with an impact statement? Or is that just the new generation? You're born with an impact statement.
Amazing.
There was a lot in terms of shaping and what we believe in and what we strive to do for society. And it comes from our community. It comes from our family. I mean, we're seeing, especially since we're in that health tech sector, we're in the functional medicine sector. We're understanding that a lot of people don't have access to the correct nutrition that they need. A lot of the times they don't have that type of education, and we see it in our communities. We see it every day.
Big time.
And that impacts us on a whole different level. And then that motivates us and drives us to do what we do at NutriPair.
But did you take classes at UCI that sort of guided you and helped you craft this? Or did this just come to you and you when they said, give me your impact statement, you knew already, oh, I got one.
We had a reasoning behind why we wanted to take certain courses. Like there's so many courses at the Paul Mirage Business School that we have access to. But we went into it with an idea that this is not just a course. We're going to take everything that we can learn and then apply it to an actual feasible startup and bring it into the world instead of just keeping it in a classroom.
Amazing. All right, let's bring your partner in crime in here. Bing is going to join us today here. He's got an anteater shirt. He's got a Peter the Anteater shirt on as well. So you guys met in this business class. How did you two come together and form a partnership here?
Yeah, we met in a class last September, and it was entrepreneurship class under computer science.
What's entrepreneurship have to do with computer science here? Yeah.
Exactly. But the professor there was super nice, and we ended up having to like working together in the same group for the same business idea. We were initially trying to build a food logger because we were like,
you're okay, trying to build a what?
A food logger.
Food blogger. All right. What would a food blogger? Oh, food logger. Log in what food you're taking.
Yeah, log in what foods you take. That was, we spent a bit of time on that. But then as we did more like research into that and saw the competitive space, we were like, okay, maybe this is not the smartest place to kind of jump into. Because food logging is not the most convenient a lot of the times. And it's usually targeted towards specific sets of people. So eventually, you know, we pivoted. But that's how we met. We met in the class where we kind of came together to work on this business idea.
All right. And then that, Gret, how did you find out about the Wayfinders program and make an application to that?
So that was actually months later. That was actually a few months ago, probably towards May or June, where we got reached out to by RevHub. And
okay, let's stop for a second. RevHub's really cool. I've met her numerous times, the woman who runs that here. And I forget her name off the top of my head here, but they do what? They reach out. They're trying to come up with companies that will make an impact in the world. Don't just make money, do good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did they find out about you?
How's RevHub connected to the Beal Innovation? Are they related? Are they part of it?
They're like a tenant. So, I think they're a tenant here, like so many other people, trying to all foster this community of innovation and growth and stuff. I think they're they're on the same floor I am, up on the third floor here.
Awesome.
So how do I don't think they're technically associated. They're just like, there's lots of VCs, there's lots of groups, there's lots of organizations here, all the tech coast kind of companies that you would expect, venture capital companies and stuff, people trying to drive growth and trying to find, not just find the next thing, but hopefully guide, be a path towards it. That's what the idea of Wayfinder is. It isn't just come to us. We're going to sort of guide. If you come to us or we find you, we will help point you in the right direction. I think that's kind of the right way to say this. So how did RevHub find you guys in a class?
That's the funny part. I think
that's the amazing part.
That's the amazing part. Well, I'll get into a little bit and then I'll have Caitlin follow up. But
okay.
We were in a pitching competition and there were a few RevHub people that were from, well, there are a few people from RevHub that was part of the MVC, which is the new venture competition that's run under the business school.
Okay.
And we got to meet one of them. I think it was, her name was Isabel, and she was connected to RevHub, and that was how it got all introduced to us.
Isabel's the one I'm thinking of, yes.
This is what they do. You guys might, you know, you guys might fit right into it.
And so they somehow brought you in and matched you with the Wayfinder, because the Wayfinders program is run by UCI. Mm-hmm. And this, it's at this Beale Applied Innovation Center. This sort of, it's sort of like a halfway house in a weird way. Okay. As you leave the safety of the college environment, this is sort of the next step off. It's immediately off campus in the research park here. The idea is to help take this technology, either student or faculty, and match it in the real world. And that bridge between the real world and the money and the business community and whatnot, and the academic and the research and the, you know, the safe place you go to develop this stuff. Sorry. So we'll go back to Caitlin here. Caitlin.
Yeah. So Bing mentioned that. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Did I just cut you off?
No. Just run with it. I'm trying to understand this journey of how you got there. Then we'll get into the specifics of what you do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Bing did mention that we were a part of New Venture Competition and we were under the social enterprise track, which we knew there was a mission and a vision that would ultimately help the larger population. And we met Isabel, and Isabel told us, hey, you know, we could help you further along your journey after the competition.
Yeah.
Why don't you just apply and give it a shot? And so we did. And at the time, we were also with the Entrepreneur Center with Jean Adombrum, and he has been helping us so much with connecting us to RevHub as well. And so after that, we sent in our application, we went through the interview process, and we were accepted into the second cohort that they had.
Second cohort. This is like we're back to Roman legions here conquering the world. It's the second cohort.
The second
is
cohort.
Trying to take over the world here. All right. So, and then, but RevHub doesn't run the Wayfinders program. Or how did you get into the Wayfinders program and meet Dr. Trin?
So they're in conjunction with each other. We right. attend all the workshops and the resources that are available at Wayfinder. But we also, in addition, have mentors and advisors from RevHub to help us with impact and our impact model and things like that.
Dr. Trin, how can they possibly fail? They've got a world-class university teaching Amazing. Them how to be socially responsible and form businesses out of a computer class, entrepreneurship. And then they got entrepreneurship centers. And then they got people like the Beale Innovation Center here where they're welcoming them in and guiding them. And then other groups associated with this, like RevHub and people floating around and money and mentors and everybody. How could they possibly fail?
It's amazing. So tell us more about NutriPair. What is the problem that you are solving with NutriPair?
Oh, they're ready for this. Well, they've done pitch competitions. Watch this. They're going to have it down to 30-second pitch. I'm going to time it right now here. Okay. Go ahead, Caitlin.
All right. I'm ready. So the problem, or one of the biggest problems that we're having in America, is chronic illness prevention and management with nutrition. There's a lot going on with medications, but on an annual, around 678,000 people die per year due to nutrition chronic illnesses. And it's due to time, budget, and knowledge. So what we're here to do is help you manage your time, manage your budget, while also alleviating that stress of having a chronic condition, helping you figure out the best nutrition for you, whether it be through grocery shopping or restaurant menu guidance. And that is kind of where we're at right now. And that's the biggest problem.
And Bing, is this an app? I'm assuming this is an app on my phone that I can use to track and guide me and advise me or something. What is it, an app, and what does it do?
Yeah, it's going to be a cross-platform app. We do have our sites that potentially in the future, we might bring it into a web version.
Yeah.
Sorry. Web version of it.
Your 30 seconds is up. Sorry, you lost the competition. No.
Just kidding. We're just kidding. So tell us more. Where are you at in this app development? Do you have like a prototype? What are some of your challenges? What are next steps for you?
We'll start with Bing. Well, let's go back to Bing. We'll give him a chance.
Actually, if let's say if I am a diabetic, or if I am, I don't know, celiac sprue or gluten sensitive, does that app help me to pick my food, or how does that happen?
We'll start with Bing again, because we give him a chance to recover from the fumble here. All right. So
thank you, Paul. But yeah, Dr. Trin, yeah. So we're kind of really heads in, just grinding, building the prototype right now. We have a timeline of, 1 to 2 months to get this prototype out, to get it in a few beta testers to see how well it works and how well it's received by the community. But yes, on to your point about if I have celiac disease, if I have gluten intolerance, yes, you'll go to the app, you'll be able to see restaurants that are available for your health needs. In that case, it would be celiac disease or gluten intolerances. It'll show you meals, it'll break down nutritional facts for that meal. So like how much gluten, how much carbs and all that. And all of that is really just trying to educate the user about the meal, but also educate them and guide them to the restaurants of their choice, of their food preference. You know?
All right. So Bing, I got one follow-up question, then back to Caitlin here. So the follow-up question is, how the heck do you know? There's a million restaurants. How do you know who's gluten-free or who's, I don't even know what celiac disease is, but whatever it is, that they've got meals that will help me manage that disease. How do you know?
So that's the cool thing. Most of the chain restaurants mm-hmm. within America, right? They have their nutritional menu online. Uh-huh. And this nutritional menu, it sounds great, but when you look at it, you get a headache.
Yeah.
Because it's an Excel sheet of all their foods and it's incredibly difficult to navigate through. Mm-hmm. And we saw this, we're like, hey, there's a wealth of knowledge here. Why isn't it being utilized for people that have a need for specific types of meals? Wow. Like, that's kind of where we started. We saw this opportunity that like, hey, we have all this information here, but it's not in a way that it's easily digestible or understood by the average Joe going to the restaurant.
No pun intended, easily digestible. See how they work these terms in there and get you picturing what they're doing.
Attention.
All right.
It's brilliant. And so who feeds you that data? Do you have to go out and get that data yourself, or does the restaurant feed you that information? Like, what's the model to get that information into the app?
Yeah. So right now, all the nutritional menus are online. So currently we're the ones aggregating that data. We're the ones getting all these menus. In the future, we really hope to kind of create partnerships with chain restaurants, but also eventually the mom and pop shops.
Yeah, right. So you're scraping the data somehow using your computer skills. You're going out to these sites and searching and scraping and then turning it, gathering it and turning it into something I can understand and read on an app that rather than me have to go out and find it and figure it out, your app is sort of like a collector and a translator. It collects it and then it tells me what's out there, right? Is that it, Caitlin? Am I overstating it here? That you're collecting the data and you're translating it, making it available for me, searchable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nope. Exactly. We're just centralizing that data right now. And then we're going to be expanding into further chronic illnesses in the future.
So at some point you might go out to the actual restaurant associations or restaurant community and say, hey, we're here. We've got a certain database. Approach us. So we don't have to go search for it. Come to us. Let's partner. Let's work out some things. And it's really just that it's data. Now, do you break it down? Is Dr. Trin giving you, well, you got to have 47 diseases in here. What was the one you just mentioned? I don't even know what it is that you all seem to know what it was. I understood
diabetes. Celiac brew?
Yeah, celiac. What's celiac? Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
So celiac disease is, just in short, it's a very high and intense form of gluten intolerance. So, I mean, I'm not an expert matter in this area, but from the research that we've done and the research team that is going on and finding this data is, people have a really hard time and they have very adverse reactions to certain foods with different types of wheats and grains and things like that.
Wow.
Yes.
Your mentor has taught you well in this. All right. So how many diseases are you going to track, or how many diseases are you going to list on? Say, if you've got these 27 diseases, we've got data for you, or is it an infinite list?
Yeah. So right now we are only working with celiacs and gluten intolerances and certain allergens, just because that's the data we have. After that, we will be expanding into either it be diabetes, Alzheimer's with Dr. Trin's help, or hypertension, high blood pressure. There's so many chronic conditions that we can go after, which we will. It's just a matter of picking which one is most feasible.
There you go. What do you think, Dr. Trin? Are they going to conquer the world? Are they going to take on?
They're going to conquer the world. We're going to help them conquer the world.
Yeah.
Like by the end of this year, they're like up and running. Well, that's our
goal. Well, and what you're getting. I'm sorry, I'll just say this and then I'll let Dr. Trin speak. What I'm getting is that you're empowering people to make intelligent decisions, where to eat, what to eat, Is that what this boils down to? Is it's putting it in the palm of my hand in my smartphone, more data? Because doctors like Dr. Trin are saying, what are you eating this stuff for? You no wonder you're sick. You know, if you would change your diet, and they're like, I don't know how to change my diet. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And now you're saying, well, no excuse. Here's what you should go. Here's what you can do. Is that it, Dr. Trin? Are they empowering people to do what you and other doctors are always?
Here's the amazing thing with their app. When I go on Yelp, I can put down like Italian restaurants and the Italian restaurants show up. I can put down Vietnamese restaurants or Korean food.
You can put on a price range. I only want expensive ones or inexpensive ones.
You can't go on Yelp and write down, I'm gluten insensitive and I can only go to restaurants that provide menus that allow me to eat. Or you can't go to Yelp and say, I'm diabetic. Only want to go to restaurants that has diabetic friendly. Or what about keto? Yeah. Right? I'm on a ketogenic diet. Where can I go eat? Right? That information does not exist in any app today.
That's just my mind is exploding right here on the camera. My head is going to explode. You would have thunk that they would have thought of this a long time ago, because more and more of us have these conditions, especially diabetes and others like that. And more and more restaurant chains are responding to it and putting heart friendly, or they're putting the calorie count, or they're putting other sorts of ingredients in and stuff. And yet you're telling me that the main places I go to find a restaurant like Yelp or any of these other dining sites don't break it down that way. That's amazing. So here come these kids that said, we'll do it. We'll figure it out. All right. So Bing, how hard was it? Was it just sort of like, what was the aha moment when you went, oh my goodness, they're not doing this. We should.
Actually, you should probably, because, okay, that's the funny thing, right? Yeah. We've had so many pivots. But that's the funny thing. We've talked about the restaurant idea several months prior to actually making the decision. But it was really Caitlin, the one that was like, Bing, restaurant.
the skies opened, a light came down. Is it like that? Is it like I'm an old Irish Catholic, so it's like Apostle Paul was supposedly knocked off a horse by, you know, light from the sky. Was it that sort of thing that you just, boom, that's inspiration strikes?
It really felt like that. It really felt like that.
So restaurants, and how did you, it just sort of came to you? Were you searching for this? You're looking for something, Caitlin, and it came to you?
Yeah, so we've always wanted to be in this field of nutrition, and we've always just thought, oh, you know, maybe grocery stores or recipes and cooking at home is where we should be helping people. But the thing that we realize is if you have 2 to 3 jobs, if you are if you have any chronic condition, you're probably worrying about that and you don't have enough time, which means you're probably going to go to a fast food restaurant or any type of restaurant to grab a quick meal. And I remember I was driving home and it just hit me and I called Bing immediate. I was like, Bing, we're doing this all wrong. And this was already when we were gathering up so much data, we're developing the app for recipes for at-home cooking. And I was like, we can't. It's just, we're not going to help the most amount of people that we want to. If we stick to just at home cooking, we'll go back to that. But let's target restaurants and help people where they need it first.
Because particularly, and tell me if this is true, Dr. Trin, that you're talking about communities of color, you're talking about communities of minorities, you're talking about communities that you all know and recognize. You're talking about coming out of Santa Ana and the Vietnamese community and stuff. And in many ways, I keep reading, these are the most impacted because they have no time, they have no training, they have no knowledge. They're eating historical food that maybe not the Vietnamese, but Hispanics and others and African Americans eating food that their grandmothers have been making the same way with fat and lard and all these other things here. Mm-hmm. And they're following a traditional format, or they're just going to fast food. These are the people that are filling up all the fast food places because they don't have the time. They're working 12 jobs. They don't have the money, the time, the interest. They're just going and buying the junk exactly that they shouldn't buy. Right, Dr. Trin? That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah. The underserved community in general have poor health metrics in regards to diabetes and hypertension and, you know, heart disease and things of that sort. And yeah, many of them are working. I mean, we're not going to scroll through a Yelp menu to find the right food that we need to eat. But if you had something like this to assist, And it doesn't even have to go to even at the menu level. Even if I think it's a win, even if we identify restaurants and just names of restaurants that offer diabetes friendly,
gluten-free friendly, places, yeah, right,
brain health friendly, keto friendly, right? Just the identification of these restaurants is a win. And then you can do that deeper dive.
So Bing, has this been well received? I was in the restaurant business many years ago. I had an Irish pub down in Mission Viejo and we served food called Kelly McHugh's. And we were always trying to find a way to reach people with information. Because any reason you have to come, if I put heart-friendly stuff, a few more people might show up. The others might ignore it, but a few more people might come. We weren't, this was many years ago, we weren't that savvy about all the other things you're talking about, celiac disease or keto diets or whatever, or gluten-free. But I think the restaurants are hungry, we'll use another food analogy, are hungry to tell the world what's out there. And they would be thrilled that somebody would collect this and tout it and show it to people. Has that been the case? Have you gone to restaurants yet?
We haven't really contacted restaurants yet, since we really want to do that after we have the MVP, the prototype done. And
the minimum viable product here. Right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We really want to start that after we have that out, because we don't want restaurants to think, oh, look, here's another startup with an idea, but nothing
to back it.
Nothing materialize. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to come off like that. We want to come off strong. We want to be like, hey, we have this app. We have these users that are loving it. And it would be great if we could even have your partnership or your help continuing this vision of ours.
Would restaurants ever pay to be listed in this or to get a prominent position? Hey, I want to prominently tell everybody I got a keto free. Because there are restaurants that target certain of these groups that say, I really want to have not just vegetarian food or whatever. I mean, some restaurants aren't on the program yet, but aren't on the menu yet. But many of them are moving in this direction because we're all trying to find ways to differentiate each other and attract additional customers. What do you think, Caitlin?
I think this is something that we still have to really talk about, because we're still, in terms of business model and like, oh, whether we want to pursue this or that, we still haven't really fully decided, because it's really up to what the customer wants. Right. We don't want to do anything that the customer feels. We really want to value customers first. Mm-hmm. And as long as we are able to do that, I think that's our main focus. Everything else just kind of depends on what our customers value, not so much about, oh, what does do we want to have businesses pay us to have certain spots in our app. I think that's something that's not really up for discussion right now. It's we really want to just focus on the customer.
I'm sorry, I'm right to the money here, but how do you make money, Caitlin? How do you make money off of this cool idea here? Because the app is free, right? People don't pay for the app.
I mean, it goes back to exactly what Bing just said. Right now, we're so focused on making this as perfect as we can to serve the end users, which is the people dining in. And so at that point, you know, we're going through customer discovery again. We're asking different people certain key questions to help us determine how much they would be willing to invest. Also trying to contact restaurants to see what they would be willing to invest and how much they're interested in this health technology that we could potentially provide to them. So in terms of making money right now, we are on the progress or in process of determining that to solidify it. So there's not too much I can give away right now, but if you check back in like a month or two, I'll give you the answer.
Okay. All right. So what do you do with them, Dr. Trin? What's the mentorship look like? How often do you meet with them, and what do you advise them on?
We're just going to have more frequent chats, and we'll connect them to restaurants. We'll help look at the business development plan, BD plan. We can certainly help with that. And we'll probably be able to get a bunch of docs involved and people in the healthcare field who totally see the value of this for our patients. Mm-hmm.
So talk about that, because you're always advocating a healthy brain diet, for example.
Well, I believe that food is medicine. So
it's that simple, isn't it? It's what you take in, we'll put it into your body, determines what happens with your body. Right.
100%. So this app is a prescription tool. Rather than me writing you a prescription for your cholesterol pills, your diabetes pills, your heart pills, I can recommend this app for you, because food is medicine.
And it's got to be a lot cheaper for the medical profession, a lot cheaper on the medical overburdened medical system that's spending gazillions of dollars for pills if we just attack these at the source and age better.
100%. So this is a tool, right? This is a tool that fits in the category of just not necessary disease treatment, but health prevention.
Yeah.
Right. This is a preventive health and wellness tool to stay healthy so that you don't get the disease in the first place.
So you're with Memorial Care. You've had the CEO on this show. There are other giant groups out there, Kaisers of the world and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Would you think, I'm just speculating, wouldn't they want to embrace something like this and maybe distribute it or recommend it through their clinics, through their sites, through their hospitals, through their physicians?
I don't know why physicians would not recommend it. You know, if I tell my diabetic patient to go on a diabetic diet, right? And then see me back in 6 months, just be on a diabetic diet. What does that mean, right, to a patient?
And how do they do that? So you give me the specifics,
right?
How do I do that? Because I'm not cooking everything at home. I'm going out to the real world because, doc, I got to get to my meeting. I'm late. I can't bring a lunch. I've got 12 kids at home or whatever it is. Not 12 kids, but I got a lot of people at home that I got to accommodate and take care of here. And too often it's just go get something.
Yeah. So now I can say, you know, diabetic diet. And if you eat out, this is a really cool app where you can just put down, you know, your diagnosis, like diabetes, hypertension. Yep. And it will assist you in identifying if you were to go out and eat those restaurants that are friendly toward diabetics or friendly toward a ketogenic diet or whatever it is, right? And so it's really it's like a Yelp app on steroids.
Yeah, right. So right. Bing, you mentioned in the beginning, you know, coming out of, you're both Vietnamese, and you were talking about how many underserved communities just don't have they don't have a tool. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know where to go. And we can't change their dining pattern. You can't make them go home and cook every meal again because of the complexities of life today. Or it's just easier, quicker, better to go get this stuff. Is it something that you would put in different languages? How do you reach the Vietnamese community or Hispanic community or, I don't know, Philippine community? Well, there's so many ethnic communities here that I could see targeted for this. And then beyond that, it's not just for them. It's for me and for everybody else. We all got the same problem. We all go eat fast food. So talk about those two things. How do you reach the underserved communities? Is it just in English or other languages? And if not, how do you... Is this a mass market thing or is this targeted towards a niche?
So I'm glad you brought that point. So while we were kind of thinking about menus, we were like, one of the biggest problems, like you said, was that we have so many different ethnic communities that are kind of, in a sense, limited to their language of restaurants that they can visit. Like if they can't speak English, they got to go to whatever their language that they can speak is. So like on the point of whether we're going to have different languages, we will. We definitely want to start off with larger communities like Spanish for the Hispanic and Latino community, and then eventually move on to like something maybe like Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean. But yeah, that is part of the plan because we really want to make it as accessible as possible because it really comes back to accessibility at the end of the day. A lot of the people in the community just don't have the ability to access a lot of these restaurants.
So this seems like a key point, Caitlin. Are you trying to make this to serve minority ethnic communities in the county here that seem to have a higher rate of diabetes and other things, partly because of their traditional diets, like Hispanics use lard and all these other things in traditional meals? Or is it because they just don't have access and the same information and the time and whatnot? Or is it just because, I don't know, I mean, are you trying to go after one subset or is this for mainstream everybody and therefore it's going to be in English and it's going to be targeting everybody? Are you trying to target somebody or everybody?
Well, discrimination does not exist within that realm of chronic illness. So no matter what, we want to try and reach as many people as possible with varying ethnic backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you are, what race you are, what gender you are. Health affects you and nutrition affects you. So we want to help anyone under the sun. But how we're going to do that is just like Bing said, we're going to start off in English and then have different translations so that the app can be accessible to people of minority, people of color. Because I know in Orange County, the rates of diabetes, for example, are highest in Hispanics, African Americans, and Asian Americans. So we need to help those people first.
Right, right. And obviously Orange County is a microcosm for America today. It is a majority of minorities. There is no, once mm-hmm. upon a time, it was 90% me and 10% everybody else. Or whatever, you know, now there's a giant mixture. There is this melange, we use some cooking terms here, of a stew of all these different ethnic foods and ethnic communities. And many of those, I don't know, I know, for example, maybe I'm overstating this, but for a long time, Chinese community, because they would put MSG into food, didn't want to disclose it. And then years ago, they stopped doing that and they started becoming sensitive and where they're taking traditional meals and they're altering it slightly to make it a lot of, we had somebody on a while ago from a Hispanic restaurant, and they're saying, we're not trying to cook with lard and all the old fashioned ways. We're trying to, in the same way that fancy French restaurants stopped using butter a million years ago and everything that they did. Bit by bit, all of these, I think the restaurants are ahead of the curve. And I think the communities are still to catch up and become aware of what the restaurants, in many cases, are already doing, trying to make them healthier. Is that true, Dr. Trin? You think restaurants are?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at Coca-Cola, Coke had to diversify into water, yeah. and specialized water, because Coke sales were going down because folks are realizing that sugar is toxic for you. And yeah, so folks are definitely more health conscious, especially with new trends toward diets now. Now you have these intermittent fasting and keto and yeah. And all these different trends toward special diets for a specific.
And I guess the point is that even, I think it's permeated everywhere, ethnic restaurants, chain restaurants, the restaurants themselves are trying to be ahead of the curve. And I think they are in many cases, not all of them, maybe not all the mom and pop restaurants are quite there yet, but more and more of them really are. They've got heart healthy things. They're aware of some of these things. They're trying to call the stuff out on their menus. They're trying to change their recipes. For example, my wife is allergic to butter. I don't know what that's called, but she's highly, I mean, she gets cysts and stuff. It's not just a upset stomach. Really? And so we, for years, had to go through, and I was a restaurant writer for the Riverside Press Enterprise and other places, and I had restaurants. And I was always frustrated because we would laboriously go through every item when we at the table with a server, and they didn't know if there was, I don't think there's any butter. And I said, go back and ask, oh yeah, we put butter in the pan because that's how we fry it or we do something with it. Is that a problem? Yeah, that's a big problem. It can't touch butter anywhere or she can go home and get cysts on her face. So we found that I still have to go through this long investigation about everything. And I can't take their first word and then when they say, I don't think so. No, go back and ask the chef or the cook. And then they come back and say, well, yeah, there's butter in it. We put butter in it a long time ago because we think everything's better with butter. No, everything's not better with butter. You can rip butter out of most things and it actually tastes better for most people. That's just one small example. And so all these other things you're talking about, diabetes and keto diet.
Do you guys have a website yet?
Yes, we do. It's www.nutrepair.co. Yeah, so you could go on there, scroll to the bottom, see some of our blog posts, sign up for our email list, and right now, we're doing what we can to recruit beta testing. So if you are interested, send us a message.
And why NutriPair, Bing? Is it because you're a pair of people working on this here? Or is it you're trying to pair people with nutrition? Where's the name come from here?
Yeah, so we're going to pair people with the right food for their health. And that is where the name comes from. Very plain and simple.
I thought maybe it's because there's a pair. Is that a pair in your logo?
Kind of looks like a pear. That. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a nice little pear in the logo.
So I am just so impressed with the young people that Dr. Trin brings on from time to time. The people who created his tongue out clubs at various high schools. The people you're working with. You guys are so, sometimes we think that the millennials are the slackers, the hackers, the whatever, you know, the snowflake generation. As soon as things get tough, they melt. The entitled generation, where's my golden ticket to the CEO suite here? They're not patient. They're not persistent. They're ADD. They're short term. And yet you guys come on and you're like, oh my God, this is so sophisticated. And at your age, I believe my hat's off to you. Unbelievable. Yeah,
thank you. I mean, we have so much to learn, and that's why Dr. Trin is helping us so much. And RepHub, Wayfinder, everybody. I mean, we're trying to absorb it all right now.
Well, the fact that you're open to absorb it and you've already learned so much and you're so, like, this is just second nature to you. I think in your generation, creating companies, whether it's your full-time job or your part-time job, it's just going to be kind of second nature. My grandson is 7. He's already creating a YouTube channel and everything. To him, the act of creation is not difficult. For many of us, the act of creation was impossible. You had to go work for somebody else. They created it. You were just a worker on the assembly line. You were a worker bee. To be a creator, to come up with concepts, to think it through, and to see it through, was for few. Now I think it's for many. And I think that's...
Winnie on Facebook asked if Caitlin could repeat the website name or spell it out.
Yeah, of course. So it's NutriPair. It's exactly how you spell the logo, NutriPair.co.
.co.
.co. And why .co or as opposed to .com? Just couldn't get that.
So .co, I mean, it gives us a little more flavor. We're not just .com, right? But also, there's so much more in terms of expansion and where we want to go. We didn't want to limit ourselves to, let's say, a NutriPair app or just, you know, regular NutriPair. There's more coming. There's more that we want to do, and we want to leave it open like that.
I love the way you work in these food analogies and everything. You know, there's more on the plate. It's a bigger meal ahead here. All right. So how long does Wayfinder last?
Yeah. What do you get as a beta tester? Like if Paul signs up for beta testing, right, what does that mean for him?
Right.
Yeah. So if Paul signs up for beta testing, that means that Paul will be the one of the first few people to have access to NutriPair and test it.
I like that.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter what type of disease or what type of chronic illness that you have right now. We're at the end of the day, we're going to work towards it. So we'll be testing in terms of stages and in waves. So if Paul signs up, Paul will have access, early access.
So let me suggest, I know you're going down a list and you're prioritizing diseases that you want to catalog and chronicle here. There's one that I don't know, many people suffer from it, not the way my wife does, but there are more and more: lactose intolerance. She has an extreme case. She has an extreme case, but lactose intolerance. Where people are always anything with milk, butter, anything that has to do with any, and it's not, and it often it doesn't say milk or butter on it, but it will say the sub ingredients of milk and butter. We got to go down and look more carefully and see.
Isn't that like an Asian thing? Aren't most Asians lactose intolerant?
I think they are.
I mean, I don't know if this is like scientifically proven, but from what I've seen, maybe.
So can I give you an anecdotal funny story here just to kind of expand upon that? So this is back in the 80s. I'm an entertainment publicist, and my partner was a guy named Skip Heineke, who handled Johnny Mathis and all sorts of other famous people, Anthony Quinn. And his brother, he grew up in Thailand as an expatriate. His father worked for the government or something. And his brother stayed behind. And his brother became a billionaire, literally a billionaire in Asia, starting in Thailand. It's a company called Miner Enterprise. You can go look it up. It's $1 billion company. And how did he start? He brought American fast food over to Thailand. And the problem he had in the 60s and 70s was most of the people there were intolerant, had food intolerances to Pizza Hut and things like that. Yeah. All this cheese and milk that was in all of our fast food, McDonald's and Pizza Hut was the first one. And he talked about, I met him a couple of times, and he talked about how it never occurred to him, everybody wants the American lifestyle, so let's bring over Pizza Hut to Thailand. And he had the exclusive franchise for the Pizza Huts throughout Thailand, Vietnam, and all these places. Nobody had ever thought of doing it, except that one in particular flopped because everybody got sick when they ate Pizza Hut with all the cheese there. So we had to find other franchises and had to work with them to come up with, to make it lactose friendly, these traditional chains. And out of that, he became a billionaire over 20, 30 years, building fast food restaurants all over Asia here. But, you know, that was exactly right. For whatever reason, their diet is not, they're not, you guys aren't weaned on milk like we all are and build up some resistance. Because cows and everything are as prevalent or whatever.
Yeah, we're looking at the next billionaires right here, Paul.
I think so. That's we're same day. We're going to say we
are billionaires.
When they ring the bell and go public, we're going to be saying, hey, they were on our show. Weren't those kids on our show?
I remember her when she was like 20 years old. Yeah. Now she's only 22.
And didn't they give us some sort of stock option somewhere along the way? They must have done something.
Journey with us.
Must have been. Did I have the chance to invest in that one? How did I miss that one? What was I thinking here? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, wow. What's the process out? So is Wayfinder, it's not a forever program. It's a 6-month and out program. Is that correct?
So it's 6 months, but then there's also Wayfinder. I think there's a second round that you could go through. So depending on where we are in terms of development, where we are in terms of releasing and all that, that's when we can really determine if we need some more help. Then we'll go through another round. If not, then who knows where we'll be at that point. So,
and this is serious stuff. So you have an aspiration to make this your full-time careers. This is what you're going to focus on, make money at. So Bing, is there planned? I know this is early, but at some point, once you've tested it and proven the concept, then do you go out to all the VCs downstairs and in the community and start, and maybe even the university's investment fund, and say, okay, here's our first round of seed funding? Or is it friends and family, angel investors? Have you thought that? You must have. Have you thought through that far, where this goes?
We've discussed it a few times, but yeah, we would definitely like to start with friends, families, and then start to move up to angel, and then, you know, kind of go forward there. But definitely friends, families first, and then if we're lucky enough to find an angel investor, I think that would be more than enough to kind of get us into a really good spot.
And what's the revenue model? Well, we talked about this. Because so many of these things, that's why mysterious to me. Apps, maybe people pay for the app. Maybe they pay $10 or something here, or maybe it's just free. Most apps seem to be free. And I'm always wondering, how do they make money then? That's either the advertising or something else that they do. Mm-hmm. You know, apps, I don't understand how the whole world makes money off of apps if they're giving them all away for free. But I didn't understand that when Google came out either, how they were going to make money just giving it all away for free. Was I wrong?
So a lot of these apps makes money from ads. I mean, Google, they made a lot of their revenue from ads early on. But yeah, so there's a bunch of different type of models. There's premium versus just standard or subscription. There's ads. We're really just trying to figure out which one works best for our customers. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to make sure that our customers at the end of the day don't really have to pay for it. And to do that, we're going to have to find hopefully some strategic partners that can really help us, or sponsors that are aligned with our missions. And that's kind of the route.
So for example, it could be the American Medical Association funds this thing and distributes it free, or it could be the California Restaurant Association, that everybody who belongs to, that's a benefit. If you belong to the CRA, which we used to, then you get this app to give to your customers. That's a benefit to being a member. That there's a great idea if you haven't thought about it already. The California Restaurant Association has money. They're a powerful organization in California, and they many restaurants, not just the chain restaurants, but the mom and pops belong to, because they're an advocacy group, lobbying group for restaurants of all the issues that restaurants face: minimum wage, healthcare, workplace rules. Believe me, it's way more complicated than I thought it was going to be when I started a restaurant. I thought it was just going to be fun. It became buried in paperwork, which you had to do, and regulations and whatnot. So they, I would think, would be a great source, because they're always trying to recruit people, join us. We don't just go advocate for you. We give you tangible benefits in return. And this could be one of them. If you're a member, you get this app and you can give it to everybody and they will come to your restaurant.
Lots of Paul, is that a halo that I see on top of your head?
It is. It's glowing like, today here.
Like a like an angel investor.
I think I was going to say, you know, can I be a friend and family here?
Because I see a halo around your head, Paul.
You think that
you need some funding here, Paul? Come on. Okay.
All right.
I
got deep pockets. I got deep pockets. This could be easy. We could. What's the size of it? I'm the Shark Tank here today. What do you need? We'll just write a check here. But again, I think it's, you know, and that's where I know you want to serve the community, and then you have to figure out how then you profit from it. It's almost like a backwards kind of analogy. First, let's make something everybody wants to use, and then we'll figure out ways to monetize that or make money from
it. We have an interesting comment here, a question on Facebook. Will cancer be one of the diseases you will consider? Wow.
Ooh, there's a really interesting idea. So if you are going through cancer,
is there an anti-cancer diet or cancer? Ooh.
You tell us, start with that. Is there an anti-cancer diet, doctor? Is there, if you had somebody with any kind of cancer, whether there are 200 different kinds of cancers out there, would you put somebody on a prescribed diet just because they have cancer, or to, or the opposite, to avoid cancer?
There is. We know of a number of factors that lead to cancer. Food that promotes inflammation, right? Foods that promote inflammation is not good for cancer. We know that sugar is toxic and that cancer loves to eat up sugar for its growth, right? It's a very interesting question.
Somebody I've read that we've had companies on in the past that believe that more acidic waters or other, is it maybe not acidic? What's the other opposite of acidic?
Alkaline.
That a lot of waters, they're infusing alcohol. There's a company in Costa Mesa that you go buy bottled water and they infuse alkalinity in it, because if it's more alkaline and less acidic, somehow their theory is, or their studies suggest, that acidic diets are more cancer prone, that they feed cancer, and alkalinity creates a harder environment for cancer to thrive and survive in. Is that true? I don't know if that's true or not, but there are people out pushing that all over the place. It's more and more of this alkalinity, add alkalinity to your water, alkalinity to your home systems, infusing alkalinity into stuff here. I don't know if that's good science or pseudoscience, but
it's good marketing for sure.
Good marketing. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good science, but it's good marketing.
Well, this is a good app and a good thing. You guys are doing good. To proving again, as Reb Hub always preaches, and so many sustainable investing places are now pushing, you can do well and you can do good and still do well. You can do good things and profit from it. You don't have to just sell junk to make money here. In the process, you can actually change the world. Thank you, Bing and Caitlin, for coming with us. Take us out, Dr. Trin. What
any,
do we learn?
Any last today? Words, Caitlin, Bing, any last words for our audience?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to thank everybody who's tuning in for listening to us go and harp about NutriPair. And we're just so excited to not only have this opportunity, but for everybody to hopefully visit our website. We also have an Instagram. It's at NutriPair.co as well. We'll be sharing so much great educational information on there. You'll also have access to more updates and a chance to test our app and be one of the first users. So just thank you so much for this great opportunity.
Okay. Bing, any final words?
Yeah, it was a pleasure to really get to talk with Paul and Dr. Trin today. But other than that, like Caitlin said, at the bottom of our website, NutriPair.co, there's a newsletter set up, sign up, and that's also where we're going to be also looking for beta testers as well. So feel free to go through that. And other than that, it was great to finally get to talk to,
tell the world what you're doing right now. You're still in that incubator secret stage here, where only a handful of people aware of that you even exist or what you're doing. As you get out to the world and tell people about what you're doing, I think you're going to find people embracing it. It's a wonderful idea. It's an obvious idea, and I wish you all the luck in making it happen here.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks. Come back in a few months. Give us an update.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Some stock options and some other things.
Stock angel investing.
That's what I'm looking for, a little stock.
We'll have that conversation offline. Don't worry.
All right, guys, there you have it. Another great example of why you got to tune in to Health Talks each and every week, as we talk to the people who are making life healthier for all of us, one app at a time sometimes, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live from the Cove, here at UCI Beals Applied Innovation Center.